Spiritual Manifestations, True and False. Now, the Bible contains many spiritual manifestations that are true. If you read the book of Genesis, the Lord, through His Spirit, appeared to many of the saints in the form of men. The Lord and angels talked with Abraham. They talked with Lot. They talked with Joshua, Gideon, the parents of Samson. Various spiritual beings at different times communicated with men. So the truth that God communicates spiritually is nothing new. But we must be certain that that communication is indeed from God before we obey. You'll recollect the story of the old prophet who met the prophet at Bethel, who had been told by the Lord not to stay in town, but to go. He came and said, "The Lord has sent me to tell you to come and lodge with me this night." And he lied. And even though that first prophet listened to a lie, he had to pay the penalty. So we should be very careful that we do not allow ourselves to be swept away by the claims of false prophets. On the day of Pentecost, the gift of tongues was given. Part number one, what is meant by the speaking in tongues? Well, as we study Acts 2, tongues were the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable the apostles to communicate with those who did not speak their language. And we read a list of the different ethnic groups in Acts 2 with whom the various apostles, speaking various languages, communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only sermon of the apostles that is recorded there is the sermon of Peter. His was probably the most memorable. Tongues are for communication. They are gifts that are given to God's people to communicate. Acts 1:8, Jesus Christ told his disciples that you must be my witnesses, verbal communicators concerning me, using languages that are understood by other human beings. In Acts 10, dealing with Cornelius, and in Peter's report to the believers, Peter declared that when the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and the other Gentile brethren, they spake in tongues as we did at the beginning, as happened to us at the beginning. So it was with the baptismal candidates whom the Apostle Paul baptized. They spoke in tongues, that is, other foreign languages that were not their mother tongue. Part number two, a false priority. Now, there are many today who maintain that the most important gift of the Spirit is the speaking in tongues. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1 that we should rather prophesy or preach or speak for God. And read carefully 1 Corinthians 14, listing Paul's arguments, and you will see that in many different ways he is saying the same thing. Tongues are to communicate. You may pray, but if somebody doesn't know what you're saying, he can't say amen. You may have an instrument, and you can make sounds out of the instrument, but if you are not playing a tune or a melody, then nobody will know what is piped or what is played. And he makes several arguments in that 1 Corinthians 14 showing that the only purpose for tongues, that is, speaking in foreign languages, is to communicate. Evidently, in Corinth, there were many people who were given the gift of tongues, and they were thrilled with this. And when they came to church, they wanted to show that they could speak Swahili and Hindi and Urdu and Tamil and Burmese and Arabic and Ethiopic and Ge'ez and every other language they could think of. And Paul says, if you want to, and you have a message from the Lord, then only two or three, and let interpretation be made. So, false tongues are for an ego trip. True tongues are to communicate the gospel. Part number three, testing the spirits. Don't believe them all. Even if the person claiming is beautiful and pious and lovely sounding, as was the serpent, but test them. Try the spirits. And we have seen that the test of the gift of the Holy Spirit, according to Christ himself, is that the Spirit will lead to all truth. Now, somebody claims to have the gift of the Spirit, but he denies the Sabbath. Eliminate him. He denies that the dead are dead. Eliminate him. He denies the validity of feet washing. Eliminate him. Go to the Bible and gather together all the Bible teachings as to what a Christian disciple should be. And if this claimant of the gift of tongues, however pious or vehement he may be, is not following the divine word, then he's not of God. Furthermore, when the Holy Spirit gives his gifts, he gives to some apostles and to some tongues. He gives to every man severally as he will. Now, in the modern charismatic movement, every member desires, prays for, often demands the one gift of tongues. He forgets that the Spirit might not intend him to be a speaker in foreign tongues. He misses the teaching of the word and so is deceived. Part number four. Another test of the Spirit is noting the fruit. By their fruit ye shall know them. Another way to speak of fruit is conduct, behavior, details of what we do and how we speak and how we worship. Now, the fruit of the indwelling Spirit was seen perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. The way he lived, his example, his life, is the way we must live. He is our example, he is our life. How did he live? So we follow his footsteps. Paul warned that in last days many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We should leave those. In contrast, we should do what Paul told Timothy to do. We should flee any kind of lustful behavior. We should follow Jesus Christ all the way. We should fight the good fight of faith. We should find eternal life. Flee, follow, fight, find. And if we do that, we will not be deceived. Part number five, deceptive appearances. Christ told us that these false prophets, false teachers, false spokesmen for God would appear in sheep's clothing. They would seem to be part of the flock of God. But just undress a sheep and it's still a sheep. What God's people need, as the merchantman urged the church of Laodicea, was to obtain the eye-salve, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit to discern right from wrong. If we are not to be deceived, we must have our eyes opened. We must have our eyes anointed by the Holy Spirit. Someone tells me, I don't see anything wrong with that. What he needs is to have his eyes anointed by the Spirit, and the question should be asked, not, do I see anything wrong, but does the Holy Spirit see anything wrong? And to find that out, we must go to the Scriptures. Part number six. The result of all this should be the Spirit-filled life. John predicted that Christ would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The fire purges, burns out the dross, illumines, ignites. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit may be understood by the expression to be baptized in water. We are surrounded, submerged, enclosed by the water. Paul talked to the Corinthian believers and said that Israel of old was baptized in the sea and in the cloud. The element, the surrounding, the directive, the enclosing force, spoken of as being baptized. So the element in which we are enclosed, by which we are directed and led, should be the Holy Ghost. Jesus, in the person of the Spirit, is ready to come in, sup with us, fill us, and guide us, hold fellowship with us, and protect us all the days of our life.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.